today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today, a question today, that I believe deserves our analysis and review based on the authority of the Word of God. Not based on tradition or denominational dogma, but on what the Word of God says. The question today, the issue today, was the Pope, that is Pope Francis, was he a Christian? We've already talked about humanitarianism. We've already talked about his progressivism. We've talked about what he believed and how what he viewed on a global basis, mostly from a, socialist, Marxist, communist background, which was his roots before he became a priest. A pope, and still was his position, if you please, philosophically and politically speaking. But Pope Francis, ladies and gentlemen, even with all of that being said, we've talked about that, but some of the questions, was the Pope a Christian? Was he a Christian? We, notwithstanding all that the Pope said about his position on climate change and women becoming priests and feeding the poor, his rejection of having a wall for national security, et cetera, et cetera. I want us to examine, for the balance of the time on the air today, I want us to examine some of the serious biblical, theological, doctrinal positions of what the Bible says and what Pope Francis believed. So you can decide. You're the deciding maker today as we leave this with you on this broadcast. Was the Pope a Christian? I'll start with this, and then we'll take our next caller. The Pope, Pope Francis, fully embraced the LGBTQ sodomite position. He said, if you're homosexual, it's not sin. God created you that way. Is that what the Bible says? Is that why, according to Genesis, the 19th chapter, that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the plains round about? Was that that God saying, you know, I have created them that way and I'm going to destroy them because they're sodomites? No, that's not what it said. In fact, you look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through verse 32, it talks about the fact that God has turned them over, them, the sodomites, those that are embracing the homosexual lifestyle, turned them over to a reprobate mind. And yet Pope Francis embraced them and brought them into the, quote, Roman Catholic Church, Roman Catholic religion. In fact, Pope Francis goes even further. I'm going to read this, and then we'll take our caller. Pope Francis decrees that Christian salvation is only through the Roman Catholic Church. To most of the world, especially in the Western Hemisphere, United States and Canada, Christianity is the belief that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Only through him are our sins forgiven. He did say that It is, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by him. But Pope Francis, on the other hand, may have something else to say about that, because according to him, the only way to God is through the Roman Catholic Church. According to an article by Now the End Time Begins, Pope Francis enforced the view that the only way to God cannot be done without the Virgin Mary and the Church of Rome. Without both, you're simply condemned to burn for eternity in hell. The statement that the Pope Francis uses for the article brings us to understand that there is a problem. That's not what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. Pope Francis said the only way to heaven is through Mary and the Mother Church. The Bible says the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ himself, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by, that's the little word D-I-A, dia in the Greek, but dia, through me, Jesus says. Not through the church, not through a denomination, not through religious dogma, not through philosophical rhetoric, but through the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
I'm doing well. I would agree with what Kenneth said in the first half of your program. If I recall correctly, I think there's 135 electors in the enclave for the voting for whoever's going to become the next pope. Of those 135, I think 109 were it put in place by Pope Francis himself, so they would probably agree with his ideology. I understand the historical formation of the Catholic Church, but I also know the apostolic fathers who preceded that, who were scattered all over Asia Minor, the Middle East, and Rome, did not have that in mind, that it was actually kind of hijacked a little later by the Roman Empire and then later enforced by the Byzantine or, you know, Byzantine, the Holy Roman Empire, which was in Asia Minor, Constantinople, which then became Istanbul. I don't prescribe to Catholicism. I have some different ideas, and mine are based on what I've read in the King James Version of the Bible, and I have trouble correlating those with Catholicism and how they present it. Sola Invicta, did I say that right? Is it Sola Scriptura?
Sola Scriptura, Scripture only.
Scripture only, and that's my belief. And I do understand that a lot of these early Christian concepts were developed in the very early Catholic Church, but somewhere something's kind of turned that I don't understand with Catholicism. So I'm not, you know, I disagree with his statements on the border whenever he lives in the Vatican City, which has walls and a guard. So I find that slightly, you know, do as I say, not as I do. So I have some issues with that, but I'm not going to stand one way or another on whether he's a Christian or not. I mean, he's supposedly, according to Catholics, the vicar of Christ. Am I correct on that one?
He is, and for our people, our listeners to understand, when the Pope speaks, he speaks ex cathedra. Ex cathedra. Ex cathedra means, in the Roman Catholic talk, it means that when the Pope speaks, it's God speaking through him. So whatever the Pope says becomes God's word, which is to be indisputable and to always be defined as coming from God and to be obeyed as coming from God. That's the problem. You don't find any place in the Scripture where it validates that. In fact, one of the things, Jim, that is so distressing, disturbing, bringing about consternation when the term is used for the Pope calling it Christian, when just, I believe it was March of last year, maybe a year before that, but very recently, the Pope said, Jesus Christ is not God. He is not divine at all. That's a powerful statement. When the Pope then says that heaven, I'm looking at the headline, heaven is for everyone, everyone, everyone. That's the way it's read. Heaven is not a secure place or a vault protected from outsiders or some hidden treasure that must be reached by cultivating some virtues. Heaven is for everyone, the Pope said. In fact, I'm reading further in the article. The Pope said that St. Peter received the keys to the kingdom, not because he was perfect, not because he's not a sinner, but because he was humble, honest, and the Father gave it to him out of sincere faith. That is simply not biblical rhetoric or jargon at all. In fact, when Peter said in his declaration of his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus says, "Whom do men say that I am?" And then he told them, then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then the scripture says that it was upon that rock, that is solid foundation that Peter had taken, had given, that he'd build the church. And the Roman Catholics today say that that's talking about on the rock of Peter that the Catholic Church was built. And I would challenge anyone listening today to go back and show me where it was called the Catholic Church in the first century. It wasn't. It was not until about the 3rd century, some even say as high as the 5th century, before Roman Catholicism matured to the point that it was called Roman Catholicism. Many years it was called Mariology. It was called Popery for many years, not Roman Catholicism. And yet we have multitudes today, a billion and a quarter, billion and a half approximately, that's following that. And right now the concern, Jim, that I have is the billion and a half people approximately that follow the tradition of Roman Catholicism, believing that the Pope taught it, the Pope said it, the Pope speaks for God, and therefore I need to believe it, adhere to it, embrace it, and I'm going to heaven as a result of it. That is simply untrue. In fact, it counters everything that the Scripture says in relationship to salvation. In fact, I believe, Jim, if I can be so bold, when you look at what the Apostle Paul dealt with in the book of Galatians, and Paul dealt with that with the Galatian believers, he said there to them, "I marvel," the 6th verse, "that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," a different gospel, an alternative gospel. And I believe that's what has taken place down through the centuries with the Roman Catholic religion. They're believing and following another, etros, the Greek text is, etros, another, a different gospel. And that's what concerns me, is to know that there are billions of people that are following that, believing that somehow, some way, good works, good deeds, a tradition, loving the neighbor, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and providing, and then condemning anything that would mean sovereignty for a nation by a wall, etc., etc., is wrong and is sin, when the sin of homosexuality and the LGBTQ dogma agenda is embraced. Now, Jim, I've got a question. If, in fact, and I can go point by point for the rest of the day, on what was believed and taught, embraced by Pope Francis and multitudes in the Roman Catholic faith, religion today, I could go the balance of the day talking about it. The point is, it is contrary to and in contradiction to and absolutely collides with biblical truths, biblical theological doctrinal truths. So, Jim, the question for you, if it is contrary to the Scripture, if it is contrary to the Word of God, if it is in conflict with what God says about salvation, can we say that the Pope was a Christian, or was he just a religious leader?
Well, I will look at Paul's ministry throughout Asia Minor and Rome, and one of the biggest issues that he had was the people that followed him that wanted to corrupt Christianity. I know from the apostolic fathers there that they had the same issues, that they were constantly writing letters to different churches there, encouraging them to the true faith, and that any perversion outside of that faith is not the true faith. I will only stand on our Lord Jesus Christ's words and what he says. Many will say, "Lord, did I not in that day?" And he will tell them, "I knew you not." So I feel that that's my safest answer, because I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and he is my Savior, as well as everybody who's listening to me and those who are not.
Amen. In fact, Jim, one of the things you're talking about is in Matthew's Gospel in the 7th chapter, where Matthew deals with that issue. And he says, many will say to me in that day, it's talking about in the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, that word Lord is the word kurios, means owner, master, controller. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus then will, pronounce unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And the question boils down, Jim, how is a person born again? How does a person become saved? That's what the Lord Jesus dealt with Nicodemus in the third chapter of John. He said, ye must be born again. Nicodemus says, how is it possible? I'm over 60 years old. How do I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, you've got to have a physical birth and a spiritual birth. That spiritual birth is coming to the point and place of saying, I'm lost, I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, Emmanuel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. And I'm going to receive Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I don't find anything in Catholic doctrine, don't find anything in the Pope's professions and positions and promulgation of what he believed and taught. I don't find anything where it says that he ever personally said, I'm a sinner, come into my heart and save me. Now, Jim, the question, and I'll let you go, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Can a Catholic be saved? Absolutely, 100% yes. A Catholic person, if one is listening today, all you must do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me. Because, Jim, the key element is faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less is sufficient for biblical salvation. And there are a number of folks. In fact, I recall about 35, 37, 40 years ago, we had a dear gentleman that was from one of the monasteries up in upstate New York. It was a monastery of monks in silence, and he was a Catholic. And during that 10 years in that monk's monastery, he read and translated the Greek and Hebrew text in the Bible, the most of the New Testament in particular. He got saved, and as a result of that, when he was living here in Jacksonville working with a major insurance company, he would go into rent a room at one of the motels and say, come at a certain time for, quote, Catholic teachings. And what he would do, his name was Max. Max would then say, this is what Catholics believe, but this is what the Bible says. This is what you've been taught in the church that you're in, the religion, but this is what the Bible says. He would do the comparison and contrast, leading people into a Catholic church that place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But my position is, once a person that's a Catholic says yes to Jesus Christ, truly is born again, he wants to find where he can worship and learn and study the Scripture and not follow dogma and tradition and that which is not biblical as is being done today in that denominational religion. It is a sad shame. So, Jim, thank you so much for your call. Thank you, sir, for tuning in, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, very serious question, was the Pope a Christian? I know some might get a little, squirrely with that. Some might reject that and resent that and question that. But the Bible is very, very clear on salvation and how a person is saved. The Scripture says in Romans 10, 9 and following, that if thou shalt confess, homologeo, to say with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, pistuo, faith, place faith and trust in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Didn't say anything about rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. Didn't say anything about purgatory or anyway anything of that nature. In fact, no such thing as purgatory that's taught in the Catholic denomination or religion. Jesus dying on the cross says, this day, he's speaking to the thief on the cross, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, where did Jesus go when he died on the cross? 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, Jesus referred to. So also the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. And Jesus told that dying thief, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus' body went to the grave for 3 days and three nights, but he went back to his Father, according to John 17, chapter 17, 17th verse in particular. We find that Jesus Christ went back to heaven, paradise and heaven, the same place. It's not a place where you got two compartments, one compartment for the lost and one compartment for the saved, as some loose, lax, lost theologians teach even today. I believe I have a caller on the line. San Diego, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, God bless you, Dr. Youngblood, like every day. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and confess it, like Romans 5 and 10 say, can be saved. But I cannot say that guy is saved or whoever is saved. Only in that time when we are in the presence of the Lord, we're going to be see who's going to be saved. At least I'm praying to be in that place with the Lord. And when the time of the condemnation or whatever, and my Lord say, no, it's one of my sons. When I come to the tribune of the Lord, I going to be saved because he say, he's my son. And he believed in me. And he confessed that Jesus, that I am the Lord and in front of the man and everybody. But anyone who don't believe and confess it, they cannot be saved. But I cannot judge, say that that person is saved or not. Thank you, and God bless you like every day, Dr. Young.
San Diego, brother, thank you so much. San Diego, brother, thank you so much. God bless you. You're exactly spot on with what you're saying. Typically, it is correct, because all we can do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Believe the scripture, place our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and he saves us. By the way, just a little tidbit of information. Again, something was missing. The book that I spoke of, written by a man that came out of Roman Catholicism for years and years and years before he got saved. On page 97 in the book, it's a short book, it's about 125, 130 pages. The question is asked, does the Bible ever use the term Pope? In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul lists the Ephesian church and us, the variety of gifted men that the Lord gave to the church. And the scripture says, and he gave some churches apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Significantly, this writer says, the list does not include Pope, does not include Cardinal, does not include priest. Among the men whom God used was direct edifying the building of the church and the going on of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. I touched on it a moment ago, but I'll read another bit from it. Pope Francis decrees that Christian salvation is only through the Roman Catholic Church. He says, first, there needs to be an intercession of the Mother Virgin Mary. Secondly, you cannot go outside, go love God outside the church. So the Pope makes two definitive statements about salvation. That it's an impossibility to be saved outside the Virgin Mary. And secondly, outside the Roman Catholic Church. And third, you cannot be in communion with God without being in the Roman Catholic Church. In other words, if you want me to give you a good simplification of what the Pope said you cannot go to heaven unless you go through Mary. In fact, Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us. But the Pope says that you got to go through Mary, and you cannot love God other than going through Mary and being in the Roman Catholic Church. And third, he says you cannot have communion, that is fellowship with God, unless you are in the Roman Catholic Church. And according to the Word of God, the Bible, there's no scripture whatsoever that supports this. As a matter of fact, the article even goes further and states that the Pope Francis is the false prophet mentioned in the book of the Revelation. That was one writer's position on that, even today in relationship to it. Another headline. The Pope says, heaven is for everyone, everyone, everyone. Another headline, Pope Francis claims that all religions are a path to God. During the three-day visit to Singapore, Pope Francis declared that all religions are a path to God, sparking backlash among religious leaders across America. Departing from the prepared remarks, Pope Francis spoke off the cuff, stating that different religions are like different languages to reach out to God. Quote, if you start to fight, my religion is more important than yours. Mine is true and yours isn't. Where will it lead us, he asked. There's only one God, and each of us has the language to arrive at God. Some are Sikhs, some are Muslims, some are Hindu, some are Christians, and there are different pathways all leading to God, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a blasphemy of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. That's a total rebuke of God's Word. God's Word does not say that. God's Word does not say that all roads lead to heaven, as Pope Francis alludes to in this text, in this writing, in what he believes. Reacting to the pontiff's comments, says, please pray for this writer, says, please pray for Pope Francis to clearly state that Jesus Christ is the only way. To deny this is to deny God's word and to deny Jesus Christ. If we deny Christ, he will deny us. He cannot deny himself, this writer states so clearly. Francis refers to the universal nature of God, claimed that since God is God for all men, then all are children of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all created by God, but we're not the children of God. God is not the father of the one that is lost. God becomes our father through his son and our relationship to his son, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, what we see in toto, Pope Francis proclaimed all the different gospels lead to the place, that place called heaven. Galatians 1:6 denies that. During that visit in Singapore that I just spoke of, he said that the Sikhs, the Muslims, the Hindus, and the Christians are all just different paths to God. In fact, if Pope Francis is correct, then Jesus was wrong when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. I hope that you realize that Jesus was not wrong about anything he ever said. Jesus did not die on the cross to merely provide one of many ways of getting to God. He died for our sins because he is the only way to heaven. He is the only way that we can be reconciled back to God. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, 2 Corinthians 5:19 says. It's only through Jesus Christ and his shed blood on Calvary that we can be reconciled back to God. There's simply no other way. So the point that I make, the bottom line in conclusion is this. Was Pope Francis a Christian? I leave it to you. You adjudicate it. You decide based on the Word of God. If righteousness alone could gain that place called heaven, Christ died on the cross for nothing, according to Galatians 2:21. In other words, if a person could get to God without Christ, then God the Father would never have sent his son to suffer the agony, the crucifixion, the death on Calvary's cross for your sins and for mine, if there'd been any other way. But there wasn't. That's the only way. The Pope's teaching smacks of universalism rather than Christianity. This false teaching completely contradicts the wisdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500